Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin arrahmanir rahim wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udzu billahi minasy syaithanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nun wal qalami wa ma yasturun ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. Sadaqallahu alazim. For those of you who don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for the first time, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, which obviously you should know the meaning, recite in the name of your Rabb who created. This particular surah you'll find in para number 30. In para 29, that this evening we find three surahs that came number 2, number 3, number 4, in terms of wahi. The first one is para 30, Iqra. Number 2, number 3, number 4 appears in para 29 in Tabarak. The second surah in Tabarak, surah Noon. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us wahi second time. Why this particular surah? Allah Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described to the people around him his experience in the cave of Hira, the meeting with the angel and so on and so on. Now this was something they could not digest and fail to understand. Something beyond their understanding. So in conclusion they said, he must be mad. He's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We too, same story, in our own way. Something we fail to understand, beyond us we say this guy is mad. So that's what happened. And now virtually the whole society is calling him mad, mad, mad. So what happens now? He began to actually believe, am I mad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the surah Noon, wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Allah takes qasam of the pen, the qalam. Let's pause for a moment, Ya Sufyan, for you this is. I told you the other day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's first creation is the light and the noor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mia should ask verse number 2. Number 2 is the pen and the qalam. Not the pen that we know is some another pen out there. The next question is, the pen obviously writes. Do we know what was the order of Allah and what was the first word Allah commanded the pen to start writing? That's interesting. So it's come in the hadith, Allah Nabi said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write, it was commanded, write the following words. Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. Indeed my mercy supersedes my anger. So Allah is an embodiment of rahmat and mercy, long discussion. Allah is full of mercy. If Allah's mercy was not there, like he mentioned here, my mercy supersedes my anger, then at the slightest of my word, this provocation, Allah would give a danda all the time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is beyond imagination. This evening, Habib Sahib read, Nuh alayhi salam is telling his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O my people, ask Allah for forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He is the most forgiving. And when you engage in forgiveness, Allah will open doors for you. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will send down for you abundance of rain. My friends, without rain we won't survive. Because we get no crops. And then with the crops, what will happen? Hey. Allah will give plenty of children. And Allah will give abundance of rosy and so on, subhanAllah. So Allah's special quality of rahmat and ghaffariyat. So this is what the pen was asked to write. So Allah is saying qasam of the pen. By qasam of the pen and whatever they write, the malaika are writing. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. Ya Muhammad, through the grace and favor of your Rabb, you are not majnun, you are not mad. Subhanallah. Allah the creator, he is certifying Muhammad as sane and not insane like the people are calling him. And you know what, Muhammad, the effort that you are putting, وَإِنَّكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. Allah has got reward for you that will never stop. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Ya Muhammad, Allah has placed you on the highest level of character. Now Allah is making the mushrikeen who are calling him mad think now. Take a madman, a guy who's crazy. What kind of character he's got? A man who's mad, what kind of character? Lowest of low. But one of high character, he cannot be mad. So Allah is saying, hey, you mushrikeen of Makkah, look at Muhammad's character. And you decide after that whether he is mad or not mad. فَسَتُبَصِرُ وَيُبَصِرُونَ. They will see and you will see afterwards who really mad. In fact, you guys who are calling him mad, you are the mad ones. Okay. So that was wahi number two. Wahi number three, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلُ. This is the command of Allah for the very first time to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Muhammad, the one who is wrapped in a garment, you must now start performing salah. Daytime or nighttime, Subhan? Nighttime. Look what Allah says. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layla. Stand up in the night, the entire night. Not laylan, al-layl. Which means the entire night. That's how Allah starts. Illa qalila, except a little. That means most of the night you must be in salah. Nisfahu, okay, make it half. Awinkhus, in fact you can make it even shorter than that. Or you can increase that. And what will you do in the salah? Warattil al-Qur'ana tartila. You will recite the Qur'an in moderate tone. Like mashallah, we see an example of that through these two wonderful ufaz. Allah bless them, say Amin. Okay, so this was the second way. So we see something here. Is the first namaz Allah ordered was tahajjud namaz, nighttime namaz. Take, okay. Then we get the third revelation. Sorry, the fourth one. Ya ayyuhal muddassir, O you who is wrapped in a sheet. What happened here was Jibreel alayhi salam appeared suddenly out of the blue when he was out there, Allah Dabi, and he was terrified. He was a huge, colossal creature. Allah Dabi, look that side, you can look there, you look this side there. When he stretched out his wings, only 2 out of the 600 he's got, right? It was spanning east to west. That's how huge Jibreel is. In fact, that's too small. In fact, I thought of something I'll just share with you. One day Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala said, my nephew, do me one favor. You talk about Jibreel so much. How about arranging for me the honor and the privilege of me seeing Jibreel? Subhanallah. First thing, our eyes can't see Malaika, remember that. Allah ta'ala gives the Anbiya the special vision, the special power that they can bear and they can tolerate the special nur of this malaika. Anyway, so Allah Dabi made the request. Request was granted. And Jibreel said, Ya Muhammad, bring your uncle out there. Where? Out where? Out there. Where there? Out there in the desert. Took him to a particular spot, far, you know. He said, right, Ya Muhammad, tell Hamza to close his eyes. And then you must tell him, on my beckoning, open your eyes. So, that was done. Okay, uncle, open your eyes. When he opened the eyes, he can see something huge in front of him. Huge. Something that was not there, like a big wall. So, the first thing is that he started looking up. When he looks up, the sight where the vision went was the ankle of who? Jibreel. He reached that height and he collapsed, fainted, subhanAllah. So Jibreel is very huge. How huge, my friends? How huge? You must decide. And Allah showed a scenario in the Quran. Allah said, Jibreel, go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Pick up the entire city in one wing. Think about it. You know Sodom and Gomorrah is where the Dead Sea is. And on that Dead Sea point, Allah says in Surah Rum, the war between the Romans and the Persians, that particular area, where this will defeat that one later, that will defeat this one, and this war will take place at that place of on the earth, which is the lowest of low. Allah said that chapter closed. Nobody questions. Nobody questions. What is meant by lowest of low, Mr. Rahman? In terms of altitude. Allah said it, we never investigate. We are Samayana, Watana, Amanna, Saddakna, Kalak, end of story. But the modern scholar He wants to know now. Explore. Allah said, lowest of low, let's confirm. And what they discovered? That particular area is the lowest of low. How come? How come? When Jibreel picks up this huge city, Sodom and Gomorrah, picks it up. Now he's huge. He's tall. So I watch my hand. Up high. It flips it around and then it throws. Now that whole city is coming down with force upside down. When that's going to hit the ground, what's going to happen, Raymond? Try it one day. Go on a normal ground, not tarmac now. And take one brick in your hand, 1 5-kilo brick, and full force. 5 kilo is too much. Huh? Take a 2-kilo brick or 2.5 and full force bring it down. What are you going to see? You will see the dent you're going to make in there. Am I right? What is your force? What power you have in your hand? That is Jibreel. So when that whole city came down with full force, it sank in. So that area in terms of altitude is the lowest of low. And Allah declared in Surah Rum, that is where this war will take place. Subhanallah. Let's carry on. So Allah Nabi saw him and he was terrified. He rushes home and he says, Dastiruni Khadija, Dastiruni, cover me with a sheet. We learn this in first aid as well. When a person goes through shock, what is the first thing we are taught? What must we do? Come on, man. Cover him. Give him warmth. Yes or no? We see accidents on the road. When the paramedics come there and the victim, they put him out, what first thing they do, boy? They cover him. Why? It can be hot summer. Cover him because the person now is going to go into a state of shock and he needs warmth. So, Dastiruni, Dastiruni. There's it from here. And she covered him. And then comes Jibreel. And he speaks Allah's words. Ya ayyuhal muddassir, O you who is wrapped in a sheet, come, stand up, fa'anzir, and warn the people. Against what? Against all evil, in particular shirk. Wa rabbaka fakabbir, and magnify the name of your Rabb by calling out Allahu Akbar. Wa siyabaka fatahhir, and your clothing, keep them totally, completely pure. Not even the slightest microscopic amount of napaki must be on your clothes. Wa rujza fahajur, and shun all kind of sin, subhanallah. So these were the words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Number 4. I just thought of something. Look at the command of Allah. وَسِيَابَكَ فَطَهِرْ, keep your clothing absolutely clean and pure from any kind of impurity. Now you and I learned in madrasa, and I thought it was Raymond, forgot. What is the negligible amount if it is found on our person, on our clothing, and if we perform salah, etc., and then we came out, hey, we discovered one blob of, or a spot of blood on the kurta. Muri sahab, now, hey, I did my namaz now. What's the setup? So AR come, look at that. He said, well, that thing is 20 cent piece, smaller. Okay, theke. If it's bigger, we'll say, okay, go and wash your garment now that area and repeat your entire salah. Yes or no? Theke. Alright. Understood that? Now understand this. Whose fatwa is this? Imam Abu Hanifa. Okay. Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, recall again Rayman and that Sayyid Ali there, and who was that? Mia Sahib, and I don't know who was sitting here. I taught you all this in Orient. When we did Abu Hanifa's life, rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, I said, you know, his taqwa was a very high level, Abu Hanifa's. He's walking on the in the streets of Kufa, that was his hometown. Don't compare our streets. Tarmac, mashallah. Even now to be the tarmac, you're walking, it's raining and the water, you walk with chumper shoes. What happens, bhai? You're picking up pani in there and you're messing your clothes. So Abu Hanifa is walking. He's walking on that road which is now muddy. Animals are, mashallah, up and down. You can imagine the state of the road. So as he walks, people notice him, made salam, etc. As he's walking, suddenly they noticed him turbocharged, you know, kicked down, automatic, eh? Kicked down, so he took off. Full speed, wondering now, Allahu Akbar, Abu Hanifa, this great Imam running at high speed, what's the problem? So some guys like me and you chased behind him. Couldn't catch up with him, why? Olympics, I think he would have won the gold medal, honestly. Okay. Where do they catch up him? They caught up with him at the river Euphrates. There he was, and he's busy sitting on the bank and he's washing the bottom part of his kurta. Abu Hanifa, what's the emergency? Why were you? He said, no, I was walking and some mud splashed onto my kurta. Obviously that mud is paka napa. Also the donkey's cows, come on, man. So he says, when I noticed that, I didn't want that on my clothes. So I rushed as fast as I could to wash that off. And he says, see, there's the mud. So one bright spark like Rehman said, Abu Hanifa, but you gave fatwa. That amount is negligible. So Abu Hanifa replied, yes, that is taqwa. What I am doing is, sorry, that is fatwa. What I am doing is taqwa. This is the level. Okay, let's proceed. So that is number 4. And number 5 is Suratul Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Tick. Okay. Give me 5 minutes more. What is the most difficult day in our existence? Only one day. Which one? We haven't seen it yet. Jibai? Qiyamah day. What is so difficult about it? First thing, the span. 50,000 years, there's the sun. And right now we are told the sun is 93 million miles. For us, it is a bit further away, so we're feeling cold here. Because the earth twisted, you know, tilted the other way. And those guys, northern hemisphere, mashallah, I saw on picture the other day, Arab news, they inside the haram, you know where they got those water, little, those basins, they press the button and you can drink, nah? Not that one there. Press button one. So there, one of the cleaners there, he's got a hose pipe and this one Middle Eastern guy is standing there and he's giving him a shower with the inside that area. So the headline reads, what? Fasting Haji is being cooled off. It's boilers there. Boilers. Little bit chilled. And yet, the estimation is 93 million miles, the distance between the earth and the sun. And Qiyamah day, the sun will be brought even lower. So you decide what kind of heat that will be. There's only two relief situations Qiyamah day, only two. I don't see number three. Only two. And what may that be obvious? Now one is to get away from the heat of that blazing sun. And where will you find the shade? Under the arsh. And only a selected people who performed or engaged in certain time of amal, I'm not going to that right now, they will be enjoying the shade of the arsh. But while they're under the shade of the arsh, there's another problem. The heat is still there. The shade is there, mashallah. Giving them some kind of, what should I say, cover from the sun. What is plaguing them as well? The thirst. And there's only one water, Qiyamah day, which can satisfy your thirst. In the hadith regarding providing a full meal for a fasting person in the month of Ramadan, it doesn't matter he's rich or poor. Allah Dabi did not make distinction rich or poor. He said, feed a fasting person in exchange for that one meal, and you will secure for yourself what? One sip of water from Hawza Kawthar, which has been explained to us, whiter than milk, sweeter than honey. You take one sip, leave a whole glass, one sip, your thirst is gone. You will never suffer any thirst until you enter into Jannah. Subhanallah. Now, where am I taking you? I'm taking you all somewhere. This was the easy part. We'll show you something else. Do we have any guarantee we're going to get it? Oh, listen very carefully now. This great scholar, Haji Farooq Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Mawana Magda, Namad Barakatuh, umpteen years ago had a jalsa in Westid Masjid, huge jalsa. I think that time, about 7 or 8 boys, if I can remember, completed the Hijj, had a jalsa in Westid Masjid Ibrahim. And I was there for that particular function. And he read, Inna Ateena Kalko Sar. That was the ayat he read in his talk. What is Kawthar? It's got two meanings basically. One is the water. And one is Allah is saying, Ya Muhammad, we have given you abundance of goodness. Kawthar Kathir. And Kawthar also that. Then he went that side. He said, let's talk Kawthar. And maybe he said few things I mentioned now about the heat and about the water. He said, and it come in the hadith, Ki Allah Dabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Kawthar fountain and the Kawthar well is so huge, it starts from my member and it stretches up to Sana, that's in Yemen. That's the width. What's the length there? Of course, that particular water supply has to be huge. He says, now on the day of Qiyamah, it's our dua and it's our earnest desire, okay, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, bless us, honor us by giving us water from the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His ummah are billions. Is there time? Does he have the time? Will he have the time to provide each one? You know, when that moment comes, Ibrahim bhai, that time you don't care who's giving you, long as you get it. Understood? So it comes in the hadith, Allah Nabi said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will, when you come here, you will see floating on the water surface thousands of bowls. And he mentioned this equal to the number of stars in the sky. Giving us an idea that the whole surface will be covered in bowls. What is the bowls there for? For him, he can't. So in order to help those who are waiting in the queue, those who will enjoy the privilege, Allah bless us with us, say Ameen quickly. Right? There'll be somebody helping to, like they say, dishing out. Who are the helpers going to be? That interesting. That interesting. So Haji Farooq Sahib says, Ramatullahi Ta'ala Ali, I remember this clearly, Hafsab, and it stuck in my head since then. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the privilege of handing out these bowls of water to assist the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that particular day to people that are waiting to receive the privileged ones. But who are those people that will be honored with this special position to supply? Definitely those who are supplying, you think they'll be suffering with thirst? I'm asking you one simple question. Who are these people? So Haji Farooq Sahib mentioned the following, so listen carefully, I won't repeat it. Those who recite every morning after Fajr Surah Yasin, after Zuhr, Inna Fatahna Laka Fatham Mubina, after Asar, Amma Yatasaalun, after Maghrib, Surah Waqia, after Isha, Surah Mulk, Tabarakal Ladhi Biyadil Mulk. Those who will make this their routine, they will be honored on the day of Qiyamah to assist Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you want to earn that, you will have to make some effort. Allah give me tawfiq, Allah give you tawfiq. Make dua ki Allah ta'ala give us iman ki salamati, the beautiful dua that was made by our Hafiz sahab, Allah ta'ala grant us all that and more than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free our necks from the fire of Jahannam. We are in the last third part of the month of Ramadan. We've got two more nights to go in terms of khatam. Tomorrow is 30th para and the other night is 31st para. We call that 31st, na, inshallah. And that night I'll be gone to Masjid because that's my standing order there. All the big nights with Allah's kindness I am there. So somebody else will come here, inshallah. And I believe he's a very good speaker as well. So inshallah you will have a beautiful night on Wednesday night. And inshallah we shall meet again on Thursday and Friday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.